Yes, you heard right. Brad said the Caxes. We don't know exactly what it is. It's spelled C-A-X-Y-S. And it's a Greek word meaning rivet, what a frog says.
What school is that?
This is Lake Forest Academy that the boys are playing tonight in the shootout. So we're going to find that out tonight, what a Caxes is. And if they actually have, like, a frog as their mascot or something, I don't know.
That would be the question. What kind of a mascot are they going to have?
Yeah. All right, this is Galesburg Live. Our special guest this morning, John Ring. He was the sports editor of the Galesburg Zephyr for 22 years and covering Galesburg sports and now covering the small schools around the area, the Knoxville Bulletin. And we've talked some high school, college, some other pro sports. But the one that you do watch, and I probably watch as much as anything, is on the professional baseball level. And may have heard John may be a fan of the Cincinnati Reds. I'm not sure if that's good. Are you still blogging for the Reds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still contribute to Red Leg Nation, which is a website. And they do a pretty good job, really. It's kind of turned into it's evolved and it's really pretty successful. They have a lot of younger analytical, statistical oriented writers. So I'm kind of one of the older guys who we do the eye test and the hear test instead of that. So we have our honest political disagreements on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fun to write for them, and they're a good group of guys.
Well, I suppose you're seeing, like we see from management in baseball now and upper management, a lot of the stuff to do with the sabermetrics and this stat and that stat, and it should all be based on that type of stuff. When guys like us are looking. You just watch what they're doing. Yeah, batting average makes a difference. ERA makes a difference.
Yeah, Ted Williams had a war Ted Williams fought in two wars. That's
right,
what
yeah,
I
there
know.
You go.
That's
yes,
what
exactly.
I know. I don't know what his war was, but it was aside from Korean World War II. Yeah.
I don't even know what some of those acronyms mean.
Well, it's interesting. I was doing some research on it, and the analytical societies disagree on how to figure war, which is wins above replacement. They can't even agree on that. That's how finely tuned this is.
Yeah.
I don't even try to figure it out. I can still do batting averages and earned run averages, but mm-hmm. I can't do this, and I don't pretend to know how to do it.
And what's the one pitcher stat? Whip?
Whip. Walks and hits per innings pitched.
Okay. See, I never knew exactly what that was. I see that one thrown out there.
And BABIP is batted average balls in play.
Oh,
and they have it broken down. It's gotten to the point where, and it doesn't translate well to radio. It doesn't translate well to television, and it drives my friends at the website crazy. Mm-hmm. And I try and tell to them, I said, people don't want to. You want to listen to a baseball game? You want to listen to like a guy like Jack Buck,
right?
Or a guy like Marty Brenneman,
right?
Whoever,
Vin Scully.
They're telling a story to you, and they're painting a picture to you.
Yeah.
They're not delving into the statistical analysis that, I guess is fine. And if you use it to help your ball team, that's wonderful. And you should you should be involved in it. But there's a point to where it gets to be a little ridiculous.
That's kind of the sad thing with baseball now, especially on the radio, that those guys, as old as they are literally a dying breed. Of course, Vin Scully retired after last year, 90-whatever. Is Marty still?
Marty's still
how
there.
How old is he? He's going at least
75 now.
Okay, not quite as old as I thought he was, but still he's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, he has been. Him and Joe Nuxhall did it for years. They were a great combination because, Joe Nuxhall was, he was kind of like Mike Shannon, mm-hmm. And like Ron Santo.
Right.
And, he's beloved player for a team like mm-hmm. Santo was, like Shannon and like,
the old left-hander rounding third and heading for
heading
home.
Heading for home, yeah. There was a wonderful cartoon after Joe passed away. You see him in the clouds, and the caption was "Heading for home."
Mm-hmm.
And Joe was just beloved by Reds fans. He was just a wonderful guy.
I had a chance to get to know them listening in the late 80s when I worked over in Indiana. The station I worked at, we actually carried the Reds, so mm-hmm. I didn't really know anything about them. But, I really liked listening to those guys, and it felt like, it felt natural, like listening, like I said, like listening to Jack Buck or Vin Scully or why can't I not think of his name? Tigers.
Ernie Harwell. Oh, Ernie Harwell was. Yeah. Well, I listened to him when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had that Southern Georgia voice,
mm-hmm.
and it really worked well on the radio.
Yeah.
So relaxing, and he had that like accent, And he knew the team inside and out. Mm-hmm. It was just wonderful to listen to guys like that.
And what it's become now to me, and, you know, I'm not a huge Mike Shannon fan, but what I do like is he is a guy that played and has the stories. His play-by-play is questionable, but his stories are still great.
Oh, he tells the most wonderful stories, and he has guys on that do that, too.
Right.
He had on a guy that's great. He was a backup catcher for the Detroit Tigers when they played the Cardinals in the 1968 World Series. Mm-hmm. And Game 7's coming up. Bob Gibson's going to pitch against them. And Mayo Smith, who's the Detroit Tigers manager, calls a team meeting before Game 7 of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is going on? You know, before Game 7? And so all the Tigers gather around, and Mayo Smith says, I just want you guys to know, he says, Bob Gibson is not Superman. Okay.
Wow.
We can go out and we can beat this guy. Well, they ended up beating him because Mickey Lolich pitched a better game. But it's like, just a little unheard story like that a manager called a meeting before Game 7 of the World Series. Yeah. It's like unheard of.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. But what has become now, with those few exceptions, it's more just a voice and kind of just a radio voice. The guy that's got the announcer voice is kind of what, not that some of them aren't good. I, you know, like John Rooney's one of those guys. I'm not a big John Rooney fan.
I'm not either.
I know the Cubs, I've heard, you know, Cubs fans, they really like their guys they've got currently. But it's just changed so much over the last several years. And again, because, you know, those guys that have been doing it for a long time that had that certain style, that they're all dying off.
I think that's why I like Ed Farmer of the White Sox.
Right,
because he doesn't have that.
Yeah.
He was a relief pitcher, and he's just kind of a natural guy. And I've always liked listening to Ed on the White Sox broadcast.
And Hawk Harrelson's a whole other story.
Hawk's funny, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hawk is funny. You either love him or hate him.
Right.
You know, I kind of enjoy listening to him.
Yeah.
And he tells some good stories, too. But Hawk was a flamboyant player. I know you remember him, too. And he's... Yep. He's been around for a long time with the White Sox.
And then you got a guy like Bob Uecker that, you know, people, and I've heard Al Hrabowski will tell this story, that, you know, people will expect that, well, he's going to be the guy from Major League. It's like, that's not what he is. He's very, very professional on the air. But he still has the stories, too.
Yeah, though. And he's done it for the Brewers for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And it's just fans have a comfort level with their broadcast
exactly.
of their team.
Yeah.
You turn on the radio, you're outside, you're doing whatever. It's good to hear him, you know.
You know, and I was, a lot of people, that, you know, Joe Buck is to blame for everything in the world. And it's, you know, I like him. I get where people see he's arrogant. Like, yeah, I can see that. But for people that are good at what they do, whether it's an athlete or not, there is a little bit of that. You have to have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But when he was just doing the Cardinals, I really like him because he was one of that, you know, that era of, kind of just a voice, but he was kind of a bridge. He was a little bit in between because he did have some stories, you know, growing up and being around his dad and being around the game. So I always did enjoy that with him when he was strictly doing the Cardinals.
Him on a Cardinal caravan 2 years. You probably did, too.
Yeah, but years ago when he was first doing it.
When I was with him, and I wasn't with him long, maybe an hour or so, but he was fun to talk to. He was incisive. He was cordial. He was polite. He was nice to be with.
Yeah, I guess I would be remiss if I didn't mention what happened this past baseball season. That one team that won some tournament at the end of the season, I don't know. Cubs, World Series champions. And, you know, they're obviously got to be the team to beat coming into next year. Guys, they're young. To me, one of the things that they talk about, well, they're really young, really young, really young. But look at your pitching staff, though. They're not really young with the exception of Hendricks.
No, their starting pitching, I think it's a little... Can be a little suspect. And the other thing, and you know this because your Cardinals have been world champions.
Mm-hmm.
My Reds have been world champions.
Right.
We know from experience, it's one thing to win it.
Right.
It's another thing to come back and repeat.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of.
Which your Reds actually did do.
They did once.
But getting on top is that's one thing. You climb the mountain, but to stay up there.
Yeah. And that team was one of the better teams of the generation, that big red machine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and you have to look at also with the Cubs. I mean, they take away What's his name? Big guy that came back at the end. Had the Schwarber tore up his knee. They really didn't have any major injuries, and you never know when that's going to happen or somebody's going to have some sort of slump and don't have a good season. But
like I say, you're a Cardinal fan. You know how hard it is.
Yeah.
You know, to get to the top and stay on the top. It's just it's just incredibly hard.
Well, John, times went quickly. My
goodness. Yes, it did.
Well, thanks so much again for coming in with us. I always like talking some sports and got a little. A little bit of different stuff in with some high school sports and
thanks a lot. Quick Super Bowl prediction.
Yes.
What's your take?
The Falcons are really good and played really well, but it is hard to bet against Tom Brady. And not a Belichick fan, but I don't mind the Patriots. I like Brady. It's hard to bet against him.
I'm not a Belichick fan either, but you give him 2 weeks to prepare.
Right. Yes.
I think they'll win by a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Hoping it'll be a good game, but I think it's them too. John, thanks so much again. Appreciate it. Thank you, Tom. It is 8 o'clock. News comes your way next.
News, weather, sports, and the stories that